If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. Book of James. Someone that does not go to our church recently asked, they were like, what are you guys teaching on? What are you guys doing? And I was like, oh, we're going through the book of James. And he goes, oh. The book of James is a very practical book. And I like to think, you know, we all like to have clear instructions. We all like to be told what to do until we're actually told what to do. You know what I mean? It's like, tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do, right? Like, we have this like conundrum. In the book of James, it was written not with to believers on how to be saved or people how to be saved. It was really written to believers on how we're to live out our salvation. And so there's a lot of parallels between the book of James and the book of wisdom, book of Proverbs, and then also Jesus' sermons on the mount. A lot of the teachings through the book of James are reiterated from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached out of Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And so we're coming to James chapter 3, and we've come to the point where James is now addressing some of the practical applications and the power and the responsibility that we have as believers with our tongue. Now, the tongue being a symbol of the words that we speak, the words that we say, the things that proceed out of our mouth. You know, I'm a pastor, obviously, and there's times where I'll be in conversation with someone outside of church, and eventually the conversation will come to the point where they'll be like, you know, well, what do you do for a living? And I just very simply say, well, I pastor a church. And sometimes you'll see their face go from a smile to like, oh, deer in the headlights, like, what have I said? Right? Like, what have I said? What have I done? Right? And they're kind of going through their mind, and I'm like, listen, I'm not here for that. Okay, so, but it's so easy to just go and be very relaxed with our words. Even as believers and even in the church, sometimes there's things that come out of our mouth that not only do they not actually honor the Lord, they're actually opposite of what the Lord is speaking to us or over our lives. Do you know what I mean? And so the words that we say are important. The words that we say have power. And so James is going to address this starting at James chapter 3. And we're going to read the first two verses. And can we do this? Can we actually read these out loud? Let's just fill this room with the word of God this morning. James chapter 3, you can read along in your Bibles. You can also follow along up on the screen. But let's read this out loud together. Ready, go. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And so we see this startling warning in verse 1 where James is like, listen, if you have ambitions or desire to teach the word of God, be careful, because if you are one who speaks and teaches the word of God, there's a higher level of accountability. Now, I mean, this makes sense when you look at the teachings of Jesus and just the life and the ministry of Jesus. There was really nothing that he hated more than people that would say one thing, but their heart was in a different place. Or they would say one thing, but then they would go and do another, right? He would say things like hypocrites, or what are you doing? Like, don't you realize it's not just what we say, it's how we back it up in action. But notice it says, knowing that we, here's James, he's lumping himself into this group of people saying, knowing we shall receive a stricter judgment. How many of you remember what Jesus said in Luke 12:48? Jesus said, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. In other words, knowing Jesus or in knowing the truth, there is a greater level of responsibility or an accountability that is placed on us. And I would actually even say this, not even just knowing it, but even having access to it, right? I think maybe you've heard the expression, you know, ignorance is bliss. Like, if I don't know it, then it can't really hurt me. But how many of you know that's just not true, right? We want to know the truth. Jesus, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And so if you want to live a life of freedom, if you want to walk in a greater revelation, but really freedom of peace, freedom of mind, freedom of thought, freedom of heart. We must know the truth. And who is the truth? The person, Jesus Christ. And so there is this understanding that if you have access or even a preacher or teacher of Scripture, there is this greater accountability. But it's also a reminder that really when we teach or preach, or let me put this into context where for everybody, if you are bringing truth into someone's life, right? So anybody ever come to you and look for advice, right? And maybe you have some understanding or biblical context and you're like, you're bringing correction or you're bringing encouragement from Scripture and you're declaring it over them. How many of you know that if you are being a preacher or a teacher, there is an accountability that we also have to walk those things out, right? So there is this teaching and preaching. There is not just a skill behind it. It's not enough, according to Scripture, just to be skilled or gifted in the teaching and preaching of the word. There is something to do with character. You see, we will all come to Jesus on the day of judgment, and James is being clear that there is a higher level of accountability for those who teach and preach. Verse 2 says, "For we all stumble in many things." Is anybody able to make it through the week without stumbling? Yeah, exactly, right? We all stumble. James, the brother of Jesus, he's including himself. He's saying, listen, we all stumble. Now, that word stumble doesn't have the Greek implications of a falling away or a turning from the faith. It is a stumbling block. It is a hindrance. It's something that is in your life that you kind of trip over, that is really keeping you from becoming who Jesus has called you to be in your walk of faith. And so James is acknowledging, listen, we all fall short. Now, sometimes we read those and we think, we will be like, and if you're a glass half empty kind of person, you might read that and be like, then what's the point, right? If we all fall short, then what's the point? But really, when we read things like that Scripture says, listen, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You didn't deserve this. Those are all calls to run to Jesus. Amen. Yeah. That really is an affirmation that I desperately need Jesus because he's the only one that can save me. He's the only one that can actually set me free on these things. And so verse 2 says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, everybody say in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So here's James, and having brought up the fact that we all stumble, he's giving us an example of a common way that we all stumble, and that is with our words. One of the stumbling blocks that James is pointing out is, listen, you need to watch how you talk, the things that you say about other people, the things that you say about yourself, the things that you speak about your situation. It is so easy just to speak our mind. In fact, how many of you know that's oftentimes celebrated today, right? Whatever's on your mind, just say it. But how many of you know just because there's things that we can say doesn't mean that we shouldn't absolutely say them, right? Right? So if my wife looks at me and I ask her, hey, honey, how do I look this morning? She should say, you look like you've been working out, right? Like that's what she should say. She shouldn't say, wow, you've really let yourself go, even though there might be some truth to that, right? Just because we can say things doesn't mean that we should say them. And so James is saying, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. This is actually, the words that we speak are often a good indicator of where our heart is spiritually. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Meaning the things that are actually coming out of your mouth are actually a good indicator of what is happening inside spiritually. Sometimes I find myself when I'm maybe in a funk and I just haven't been spending as much time with the Lord, or I've been reading Scripture half-heartedly. I find that times when I notice the most is, what did I just say, right? I'll be in conversation and something will come out of my mouth and I'm like, did I actually just say that? Because there is something that was in my heart. There is this absence of the Lord and an absence of abiding with him and spending time with him. And all of a sudden, because my heart is naturally very carnal and very wicked, it wants to just speak its mind. It wants to say whatever it wants to say. And as these words come out, I'm like, oh, I need to go be with Jesus, right? Like, there's times where words come out and it is a reflection of what's going on inside, and it's a call. Let that be a call or an indicator of, oh, I need to get with the Lord, because I'm not really talking how he talks. I'm not really speaking the way that the Lord is speaking. And so the words that we say, whether cursing, lies, slander, gossip, they're all strong indicators that something is off spiritually. Let me give you another big one, complaining. Did you know that complaining is not from the Lord? Because scripture says, in all things, give thanks. No matter how bad it gets, no matter even though seemingly true it may be, you might be saying, well, I'm just stating the truth, or I'm just stating the obvious, but scripture is very clear. In all things, give thanks. Be anxious for nothing. In all things, give thanks, and make your request known to the Lord. So there's this specific instruction that we are, as believers, to be people who give thanks. But if we are complaining about our situation, complaining about other people, these are all indicators of the heart. You guys with me this morning? And so there is this litmus test that we have. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36-37, Jesus says this about our words. Jesus said, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." This is a powerful statement. That scripture used to freak me out when I was younger. I was like, what did I, it was the same as though someone's talking to me, finding out that I'm a pastor. It's like, what have I said, right? Like, what things am I going to need to take account for? Jesus is very clearly saying, listen, your words matter. For every idle word, they may seem like nothing. They may seem idle. They may not seem like a big deal. It may be so accepted by everybody around you or even celebrated. But the question is are you speaking the same things that God is speaking? Are you actually speaking words that bring life and bring healing? Or are we complaining? Are we grumbling? How many of you know when Jesus brought his people out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, what was the first thing that they started doing? Rather than praising God for deliverance, what did they start doing? They began to complain. They began to grumble. And it caused judgment in their life. The opposite of giving thanks is complaining and grumbling. And Jesus says, listen, every idle word you will give account for in the day of judgment. For by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. I mean, think about this. The words that come out of our mouth, scripture says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So the way that we come into salvation is with what? Let's be confident here. Our words. You see, our words can bring life, but equally, they can bring condemnation and death. You guys know what I mean? Out of the same mouth. And Jesus is saying, by every idle word. And so James is making it very clear. Not only is it possible, this is one of the biggest ways that we stumble in our Christian walk, is with our words. Whether it's words about yourself, maybe you're boasting or exaggerating and trying to make yourself look better, or maybe it's the opposite end and you're constantly being negative about yourself and your situation and you're really speaking an opposite end of truth, or maybe it's about others where you're gossiping or slandering through insincere or cruel words. James continues and he talks more about the power of tongue in verse 3. He says this, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." James is using this analogy that this small little piece, you guys know what a bit is on the horse's bridle, right? Like on the reins. Okay, I don't really ride horses, but it's just a little thing. Like you just put it in their mouth. But as the rider who is in control can turn their head and really turn their whole direction and turn their whole body with just a little piece, right? And he gives us another example in the next verse 4. "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And so there's this understanding that something so small has so much influence in the direction of your life. If your tongue is out of control, that would be like the ship in the sea with no one at the wheel, right? What's that ship gonna do? It's just gonna go wherever the wind blows. Now, some people hear that and they're like, oh, that sounds like a cool tattoo, wherever the wind blows, right? No, it's chaos, right? Because you can be thrown by the waves, or you can be blown into a shipwreck, or who knows what, into another ship. Without control of our tongue, our life actually becomes very chaotic. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's power in our words. Our words matter. Verse 5 says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, for better or for worse. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So when we have control over the tongue, it's an indication that we actually have control over ourselves. That there is this discipline in our life, that there is really a way about us. And James is ultimately pointing us not just to effort, right? We can't actually control our tongue by effort alone, although, you know, some people, it wouldn't hurt some people to try a little bit harder, amen, right? Some people should try a little harder to control what they say. But the way that we actually speak words of life isn't just by effort alone. The question is who is in control? Who has controls on the reins of what you say? Are you just saying whatever you want? Or are you submitted to the Holy Spirit, who is not only in you, but gives you the ability to speak words of life? Amen? Because he is the Spirit of life. And so will we actually yield our thoughts and our words to the Lord? Well, how do we do this? How do we actually yield? How do we actually begin to talk like the Lord? It's like so many things. In fact, we sang about it this morning. The way that we come and receive life and freedom is by coming to the Lord Jesus and laying all things at his feet. If you want to change the way that you talk, maybe you have negative thoughts about yourself and you actually speak those out loud. How many of you know scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? The words that you speak, when you speak them, if they are words of truth, you speak them, you hear them, and it's like this rinsing. Do you guys know what I mean? Right? Have you ever had like dirty water and then you mix it with clean water and all the dirty water kind of just starts to dissolve out of there, right? And it kind of flushes out. That's really what the word of God and truth is. When we begin to hear the word of God and we begin to declare his truth, it comes out of our mouth, it comes into our ears, and it goes down into our hearts and our spirit, and it begins to flush out all the filth. The ways that a primary way that we really begin to start changing our words is to by getting his word in us, right? God cannot lie. If you want to know what is true, if you want to know the things that you should be speaking over your marriage, over your family, over your life, whatever it is, the things that we should be speaking are the same things that God is speaking over us. Amen. But the reality is some people don't have their hands on the reins or on the wheel. And look at the disaster that comes from not controlling the tongue. It says this, see how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. There is such great disaster and such potential power from our tongue. You know, my wife and I, we celebrated 22 years of being married yesterday. Happy anniversary. Time is weird, man. I was like, that's a long time. Like, that was a lot. Like, we've known each other longer than we've not. We've been married longer than we've not been married. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I know, it's a doozy. I remember, though, early on, we were on a trip, and we were driving back home from Wisconsin. We were talking about this yesterday. But we were driving back home, and I'm from Wisconsin. Like, I'm from here, right? Like, I grew up a mile from here. Like, I've spent most of my life in Madison. And so there was some foreign things when I was out in California. Earthquakes are crazy. I what is that? I thought the first time I experienced an earthquake, I literally thought there was construction happening and there, like, the house was being lifted and moved. I was like, what is going on? Like, it was like so out of body. But the other thing is wildfires. And I remember we were on our way back into California and we were driving and we were on the freeway and it was like a scene straight out of Armageddon. There was fire on this side of the freeway and fire on this side of the freeway and traffic is moving, like, who cares? Like, I'm like, what is this? Like, what is actually going on? It was just chaos and they would just sweep through because the conditions would get dry. And when things are dry, things are certainly able to catch fire. And that's what happens. In so many of the forests, the wildfires that California experiences, they don't start with a bonfire. They don't start with a flamethrower. They start with a little spark. I think those fires, in fact, were just started by some fireworks. They caught fire into a yard, and the wind caught it, and it just took off. But how many of you know dry conditions in our life, dry conditions in our heart, is more able to lead to destruction by the words that we speak? If we are being filled with living water, how many of you know, even though sometimes we might hear some things that aren't true, even though we might say some things and stumble with our words, it doesn't hit us the same way, right? Because we have good conditions in our heart. But there is so much destruction that comes from this little spark of our tongue. How many of you have heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Yeah. We often say that. Maybe many of us parents have said those to our very kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we say that as though, like, don't be influenced by what people say about you. Be confident, be strong. There's an intention there. But how many of you know words do hurt, especially when we believe them? Good or bad, good, if we hear good and we hear truth and we believe it, right, it brings fruit, it brings life. But when we hear negative words or things spoken over us that are actually not true, but if we believe it, it can cause significant damage. Now, think about the ability that you have as someone who speaks to other people. Did you know that you can actually speak life into those around you, or you can actually speak death? Always pointing out the negative, always getting on them, always speaking negatively, or we can begin to call out and see them as God sees them and begin to call out those things that who they really are. You know, many of you know that I coach multiple sports teams. It's turning into a thing. Like, I thought it was just one thing, and now it's like multiple things. I coach multiple sports teams. I put that in my bio. But I think one of the best things that I bring is not my ability or understanding of the game. The biggest things that I bring oftentimes is who's in me. You know, I coached my daughter's lacrosse team, and I was like, well, coaching girls is much different than coaching boys, first of all. But every single person, really what they want is just to be seen. And I can either see them and all their faults and all their inabilities, or I can actually see them as the Lord sees them and begin to call those things out. Do you know what a game changer that is? Do you know what level of that allows for the Lord to work into their life? The seeds that we can actually plant. You don't even really need a platform. It can be people that you work with. It can be people that you live with. It can be your family. It can be whomever. But may we actually be people that choose to speak words of life, amen? Yeah. The book of Proverbs, and I talked about the parallels between James and Proverbs, but I'm going to read some of these Proverbs. Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. talks about the destructive power of words. It says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. How many of you know we can kind of put that tag on it and be like, we can say something and just kind of put the disclaimer, I was only kidding, but it cuts, right? Proverbs 10, 19 through 21, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In the multitude, in the abundance. How many of you know most sins in some way, shape, or form actually start with the words that you speak? In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lip is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. In other words, words can be used for destruction or to bring life. Proverbs 12, 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Proverbs 16, 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. This is my favorite, Proverbs 18, 21. In fact, I pray this often, especially when I'm praying and believing and contending for healing. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Yeah. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. James starts talking about the difficulty of controlling the tongue in verse 7. It says, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We need the Lord, amen? James is pointing out the fact that, listen, we have the ability to tame many things. In fact, every beast and every animal, like you can train it. You can, except my dog. I can't get my dog to go to the bathroom outside. But, you know, most animals can be actually trained and taught. It says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, it's in God's design when he created us and made us, he's given us this incredible ability of discipline and self-sacrifice. And how many of you would say, I need a little bit more of that though, right? So much so that you hear stories of these amazing stories of survival where somebody will be trapped and maybe they're on a journey or they're on a trip, a camping trip, and they get trapped, right? And, you know, maybe their arm is stuck between some rocks, right? And you hear this story about how they were going days and days and days, and in order to survive, it got to the point where they literally severed their arm off. I don't know if he chewed it off. I apologize for getting graphic, but literally to the point of, I will cut off and sacrifice this so that I can live. And I would say not even that person can tame their tongue. Not even the most perfect, the best, the most self-sacrificing, the most disciplined. It is untamable. But when we read verses like this, no man can tame the tongue, again, it points us to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who never sinned in action or in word. Somebody say amen. He was perfect in every action. He was perfect in every word. And the reality is if you have given your life to the Lord, Scripture says that you are born again. You are a new creation. Your spirit, which was once dead, is now alive in him. And that one who is perfect in word and in action is the same one who lives in you. And so there is someone, and there is this Jesus who lives in us that is giving us the ability to not just try harder, though again, some of us may not need to try a little harder. Victory in the words that we speak comes by surrendering to Jesus and abiding in him. First, the sacrifice of Jesus is able to forgive every sin, including the words you say. Second, it's only Christ in me that actually has the ability to change my heart. You know, the reality is that if you have received Jesus as your Lord, there should be this process of becoming more like him. Becoming more like him is a sign and a witness to yourself that, listen, what I've received in him is real, it's true, that I'm not just my old self anymore. I'm not just what I used to be. I'm not defined by my actions or my faults. I'm defined by him. And really, that's the call here, is that we are not just to try harder, but we're actually to be who we really are created to be. sons and daughters of God. Amen. Verse 9 says, with it, talking about our tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, talking about believers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. There it is. This is what it is. James is saying, listen, do you not realize who lives in you? You cannot be a believer. You cannot be a new creation and just continue to talk and let bad fruit come out of your mouth. If you are born again, then yield to the Jesus, the one who lives and reigns in you, and let the words that come out of your mouth be both pleasing and edifying to others and to you and to the Lord Jesus himself. Amen? Jesus is the one who does the work. But James is pointing out the fact that blessing and cursing can come out of the same mouth. And to those who are born again, it should not be this way. We see countless biblical examples of this, right? When Peter was the one who confessed Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he had this revelation from heaven. Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And Peter gets this revelation, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus even says, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Think about what we can speak, the blessing, the revelation, the very words of heaven. But it was the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. We see these biblical examples of blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth. But again, verse 12 says, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No spring yields both salt water and fresh. In other words, we cannot bear the fruit to God that we should apart from the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot. Listen, not only has Jesus poured out his blood as a sacrifice for your sins, though your sins were as scarlet by his blood, they are white as snow. Somebody say amen. Not only has he given his blood, he's given his Holy Spirit to us. How many of you know that is that's a game changer? Because not only has he saved us, he's given us everything that we need to walk with him, to be like him, to talk like him. And that is who we should be. We should be those who have received life in Jesus. We should be those who live not according to our dead selves or our dead ways or our former selves. We should be as those who are living according to the new creation that he has raised us up to be. Amen? And so let us go and live according to who God has created us to be. But it only happens when we yield and allow the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray over us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as we come into this scripture, Lord, there's a lot of practical things, Lord, and there's a lot of times we see our shortcomings. We see the things that need some work in our lives. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we don't do it on our own strength. But Lord, you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us yourself, Lord. You've given us the ability and the strength to live lives that are holy and pleasing to you. Lord, it's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can earn, Lord. We don't get into eternal life with you based on what we can accomplish. But Lord, we receive eternal life, Lord, and we receive life with you forever because we have been filled with who you are, Lord. We have been empowered by your Spirit to walk live and live lives that are worthy of you. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, I pray over every person, Lord, for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would pour out on every person, Lord, that we would not only have the grit and the determination on the inside, but Lord, that we would be strengthened by your Spirit. Lord, that we would speak words, Lord, that move heaven, because Lord, we are speaking words of heaven. Lord Jesus, Lord, give us revelation of your word, of your holy scriptures. Lord, that they wouldn't just be words on a page, but Lord, that they would be words that are written in our hearts. Lord, words that bring actual change to our lives. Lord, we wouldn't just know you in our minds, but Lord, that we would be so one with you Lord, that our spirit that has been reborn, that is one with your Holy Spirit, that we would know you so intimately, Lord, that it becomes the very heart and person that you've created us to be. Jesus, you are worthy of it all. Lord, we want to know you. We want to be more like you because you've given us life with you forever. And what is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing you. You are eternal life, to be one with you. And Lord, that doesn't start in heaven, that starts right now. Some of us in here might be asking the very question, can I actually know him? Not only can you know him, friends, he wants you to know him. And yes, we'll spend eternity with him, learning more because he's unsearchable. But you can leave here today knowing God himself, the creator of the universe, and have relationship with him. And I just want to encourage you that if you are here and you've not said yes to Jesus, if you've not said yes to the life that he's made available, if you've not received the forgiveness of sins, if you're still dead on the inside, dead in your trespasses, you're alive and you're moving on the outside, but on the inside, something's missing. And you need to say yes to Jesus, because when sin entered the world, we had death entered, and death came on the inside. We were alive, but on the inside, we were dead. But Jesus came to win us back to him, to allow his life to become our life. And if you've not said yes to Jesus, I'm with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm gonna ask if you would, if you're here and you wanna say yes to Jesus, we're gonna say a prayer all together. But I'm gonna ask that you make this decision right now, that you would say yes to Jesus. I'm just gonna have you look at me, just wave your hand. And I say, I wanna say yes to Jesus. Just wave your hand. Best decision we could ever make. You can't save yourself, but we can run to the one who saves us. And I believe the Holy Spirit, we're talking about words, but the Holy Spirit is in this place, and he's speaking to you, and he's drawing you to himself. So what I would like us to do is I would all like us to respond and say yes, and just lift our hands to the Lord with our eyes closed. Just lift our hands to heaven. This is a posture of surrender. This is a posture of receiving, just like any child lifts their hands to receive from their father. Good gifts. Holy Spirit, we want to receive from you. And I'm just going to ask that we repeat this prayer out loud together in a voice loud enough for the person next to you to hear. But I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you because you gave your life for me. And your word says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died for my sin and you were raised from the dead and you are now alive, having defeated death, if I confess that and believe in faith, I will be saved. And this is salvation. My sins are forgiven. My dead spirit is reborn. And I'm alive in you. And I can know you and be in relationship with you. So, Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I choose to do what you say. I choose to do it your way, to know you, to be with you, to be who you've called me to be. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I declare, because I pray this in faith, because I declare with my mouth that I am born again, that I am a new creation. The old has passed. The new has come. I don't need to live according to my old ways. I can be who you've called me to be. More like you. More like you. Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for his word this morning? Thank you, Jesus. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. Let your word be true. And every other word a lie. Lord, let your word be true and real in our hearts, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? It is so good to worship the Lord together, to hear the word of the Lord together. There's really no times like these. And it's a big part of becoming more like him, is being in the moments like these, atmospheres like these. Let us continue. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. You are dismissed. Before you leave, put a big smile on your face. Greet some people around you. And if you need prayer, we're going to have some people available up here to pray with you if you have prayer requests. But we'll see you next week. God bless you.